The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Would you like to live forever? Is there one special key to obtaining eternal life? Would you like to learn that vital key? Would you use that key, my friends, even if you found it? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals the key to eternal life. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Sir Winston Churchill said, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened." Did you know that that illustration is absolutely true in describing human nature? Most people would like to be good, but they don't want to do good. They want to do what they would like to do, but somehow they like to feel good about themselves. They somehow feel that they must be in contact with God and whatever religion, whatever ideas, whatever doctrines they practice, and whatever way of life they pursue. So they want to feel good, but they don't want to do good. And most people also want the approval of men rather than the approval of Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. For the invisible God seems way off to some people. Somehow he seems unreal, and he's way off, and men are right here. Notice how the Apostle John pointed out this fact nearly 2,000 years ago. John was inspired to describe human nature in this way. John 12, and I'd ask you to get your Bibles and check up on me, follow me, prove these things for yourself out of your Bible. John 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," believed in Christ, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." They were afraid they'd be excommunicated, "for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Notice that. Human nature wants the praise of men. They want men to like them. The invisible God seems way off. Somehow he's not real to people. But man is real. He's close by. So people want the approval of their friends. They want the approval of their family. They want the approval of their social club or their lodge or their bridge club or their fraternity or sorority or whatever it is. That seems real to them. But the great God who gives them life and breath and everything they have, he's not very real. So they're not so concerned about what he says. Notice what Jesus Christ now said in following this up. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me.'" Jesus Christ was the stamped impress of God the Father. He was the total personification of the great God. And if we come to see what Jesus Christ taught and how he lived, then we understand and we know God himself. And he went on to say, "I have come as a light into the world." This is verse 46 now. "That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Yes, Jesus is that light. He's the one to show us how we ought to live. Yet people don't seem to get that. They want to follow the churches of this world, and they want to believe in their concept of Jesus and Jesus' name, but they don't want to follow what he actually did. They don't want to follow his example. They don't want to follow his teaching. Notice that Jesus stated, my friends, if we reject his teaching, we will be judged in the last day. And we've got to understand that. He says here in verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Here is the problem, my friends. For I'm told millions of professing Christians assume that they have accepted Jesus Christ and his teachings. They want eternal life, and somehow they think they're going to get eternal life just by accepting the person of Christ, or having a sentimental thought or idea about the precious blood of Jesus, or that type of thing. But most of them have never even heard the message of Jesus Christ. They really haven't. That may sound shocking, but it is true. And that means many of you out there. Where do you stand? Think. Are you willing to receive the plain, clear instruction of Jesus Christ Himself about how to attain eternal life? Or is your life or your mind absolutely closed to any new truth on this subject? Think, are you willing to change if you're proven wrong out of the Bible? Repent means change, and God tells us to be willing to repent. Again, go get your Bible. This is vital. You check up on me on this program. You prove what I have to say to you out of the pages of your Bible. And if you do, it may help you throughout eternity. And I'm not kidding. Now notice what the Apostle Paul warned all of us about this very matter. Turn to the writings of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, my friends. For if he who comes, Paul writes, preaches another Jesus? Yes, not the Jesus of the Bible. People were going to come along, and Christ prophesied that, as I've read you out of Matthew 24 a number of times. They will say, believe in me, but they will teach a different message, Christ was indicating. If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. People will put up with a different gospel. They will put up with a different Jesus and go along with the Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible, that is not the Jesus that God sent to this earth, bringing the way to eternal life. Most professing Christians have been taught to accept the person of Jesus. And again, they get all emotional about the precious Jesus and about the precious blood of Jesus, but they don't understand the real truth he taught. These things about Jesus and about his blood are very important, but they're not the primary things Jesus taught. But you may say, what did Jesus teach about the way to eternal life then? I'm going to give you that in great detail in a moment, right out of your Bible. At this point, let me urge you to call or write today for a free audio tape of this vital message. This message is absolutely vital for you to check up and prove. And you really need to study this message in your own time. And also, I urge you to call today and get this audio tape. And, of course, this is going to really help you do that. Then you can review this important information while driving to work, coming home, or simply wherever you are. This tape will be sent to you absolutely free, no charge, no follow-up. So write or call today and request your free audio tape of this very message.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, the key to eternal life. Remember, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4 just before we ended the first part, and I want to review that. Here the apostle said, for if he comes, preaches another Jesus, if he who comes preaches about another Christ, another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now let's notice what the real Jesus Christ of the Bible actually said. What did he say about believing on him? Can you just believe whatever you want and join the church of your choice and go along with whatever idea seems convenient, whatever they put the stamp of Christ's name on? Luke 6 and verse 46 in your Bible. Turn there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Christ is not your Lord. The word Lord means master. He's not your Lord. He's not your boss. He's not your master unless you obey him, unless you do what he says. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell when you really understand it. Empty faith is definitely not enough as far as the Bible is concerned. In James, the second chapter, we read that faith without works is dead. God doesn't want empty faith in Christ. So what did Jesus actually teach about the way to eternal life? What did he say? What did he say? Not what the churches say, but what did Jesus Christ say? Please listen to me. What did Jesus Christ say about the way to get to eternal life? The way to get into God's kingdom? Notice Matthew. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, right out of the Gospels, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Here was Jesus Christ's inspired answer. The Son of God said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life," here it is, "keep the commandments." Not some commandment or just some statement about loving Jesus or having the Lord in your hearts. "Keep the commandments." What commandments was he talking about? And he said to him, "Which ones?" Even the young man asked. So Jesus began to name, notice it here, if you're in your Bible, he began to name the Ten Commandments. "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal." And he began to name a number of the Ten Commandments. And as you find back in James chapter 2 and verse 10, this law has points. And if you break one point of the law, you break them all. Satan offers today cheap grace. Grace that is not based upon real repentance, where people would turn around and truly obey Christ. Cheap grace. But God will not save us in our sins. He will save us from our sins if we're willing to repent. If you'll turn in your Bible, you'll notice back in 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression, the breaking of God's law. That's what sin is, as we tell you so often on this program. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is the breaking of God's law. So my friends, real repentance, real obedience to God, revolves turning around from breaking God's law and beginning to keep God's law. The Ten Commandments are not that strange. They're not that difficult. But you're not taught about them. And most people have no way of understanding them because it's never explained to them properly. Notice back in Matthew 5 now at this point. Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And fulfill means to carry out. Fulfill means to fill to the full, what Jesus did, setting us an example that we should follow in his steps. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away," that's a long time, "one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled," or all be enforced, as some translations have it. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments," whoever comes along in whatever church, whatever idea they may put the name of Christ on, it's called Christianity, and says you're to break one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Other scriptures show they won't even be there unless they repent later on. But whoever does and teaches them, teaches even the least of the commandments Jesus is talking about here. Look at it in context. He shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that you should not murder. And then Jesus tells you, of course, not to even hate your neighbor. You're not to have wretched, rotten thoughts against other people because of their race, because of their religion, because of anything. You're to love every human being. And that if you don't, if you have the spirit of hate, the spirit is murder. You are not to even break the commandments in the spirit. Notice verse 27. You've heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say unto you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her, having lust in his heart, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, adultery is in the spirit. It's in the mind. And then, of course, if you have hate in your mind, you may end up hurting or murdering the person. If you have adultery in your heart, in your mind, and you're lusting after someone, then you're much more likely to commit the real act. And God wants your very heart. He wants your very mind to be attuned to Him. And so Jesus tells us this. He tells us we're to obey God's commandments, even in the Spirit, because the true God wants to place within all of you and all of us, my friends, His very character. He wants us to be His real sons and have His nature so we can live forever in peace and in joy. And to do that, He gives us, or promises us at least, if we'll repent, His Holy Spirit, which is part of his very nature. It really is part of his very character, and that is a magnificent thing. In fact, let's turn back here to 2 Peter for a moment, and I haven't got that in my notes or script, but I want to turn back there just the same. You don't know that, and we're going to give you an extra scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 1, God's divine power, by which in verse 4 have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. He's talking about God's great promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You can be a partaker of God's very nature, and that is God's Spirit. I have 6 children and 6 grandchildren and 1 little great-granddaughter, and I, of course, know that my nature's in them, which is sometimes a problem. Because if we have a certain drive or a certain this or that, they inherit that. That can be used for either good or evil. But my nature is right in my children. And God's nature is right in his children. It's not perfectly in us because we're just begotten in this physical life. But we have to grow in grace and in knowledge, as it tells us back here at the end of 2 Peter. That's what we're to do. We're to continually grow spiritually. But it says God's great promises, of course, tell us or give us the nature of God, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, the very character of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do we get the very nature of God? How do we get the Holy Spirit of God to help us and guide us and strengthen us and enable us to walk in God's law and in God's way? Let's turn back to the book of Acts. Turn back to the book of Acts. The very first time God poured out his Spirit upon mankind, a lot of you are familiar with it. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 36. This is a powerful passage. Here, Peter had shown them that they had killed the Christ. And they said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How can we be forgiven this great sin? And what should we do? And so Peter said to them, repent. That's the first thing John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus Christ came along and said, repent and believe the gospel. Over and over that word is used. That's the first thing. Be willing to know there's a real God. God has to open your mind and open your heart. Then you've got to be willing to repent of your ways. Repent of sin, of breaking God's law, of going the wrong way. Really repent. A little baby, we see these little babies sprinkle water or pour water poured on them, and they're crying and squalling, and we think, isn't that cute? They're being baptized. Well, they don't even know their right hand from their left. Do you think those little helpless infants have any remote concept of what's happening to them? Of course not. They don't know anything virtually at that point in time. They can't repent. But Jesus Christ said through his servant Peter, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness for having broken God's law over and over and over again in the letter and in the Spirit. And you shall receive then the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I don't have to look at the Bible on that one. I know that one. God gives his Spirit, and he's going to give it to all of us down through time, whom he calls, if we're willing to repent. And so, my friends, I hope you will open your mind and begin to think about that. Begin to follow this program. Begin to get, of course, our literature. Begin to read the Tomorrow's World magazine and the booklets we offer on this program and study them. And begin to learn the full truth of God Almighty, which many of you may be learning now for the first time. Turn back to Acts 5 in verse 32. Peter says, we are witnesses of these things, of Christ's death and resurrection he's been speaking of. And so also is the Holy Spirit, notice, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. That's the whole thing. Not to those who go their own way, but to those who truly obey God. And you have to have God's Spirit, of course, to grow. You have to have God's Spirit to change. You cannot do it on your own. Notice back in Romans now, Romans chapter 8. And let's begin reading here in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you've got to set your mind not on this world all the time, not on the latest movie, not on getting a raise, not on investing more in the stock market, not on getting ahead and or flattering people or this and that. You've got to set on your mind on the things that are above. You've got to set your mind on the things of God, not just on things on this world. For to be carnally minded, physically minded, not unnecessarily evil, just normally physical minded, is death. It leads to death, eternal death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind, the normal mind of man, notice this, is enmity against God. It's an automatic enemy of God. Why? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The normal carnal mind resists obeying God. And that's why the people in so many churches resist obeying God. They say the Ten Commandments were done away. They were nailed to the cross. The Apostle Paul said you don't have to keep them and blah, blah, blah. The tremendous effort they put into trying to do away with God's law is awesome when you think about it. If that same effort had been put down through the ages into teaching God's law, explaining to people the law of God, how wonderful it is, holy, just, and good, the Apostle Paul called it, what a wonderful difference that would have made. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, Romans 8, verse 7, nor indeed can be. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, he tells the Roman Christians. If, this is the big if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's part of his very nature, if you have God's Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Notice the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are the same thing. And they're mentioned in the same context a number of times. They're not a different spirit. Christ said, I and the Father are one. There's one Holy Spirit. And so Christ must live in you through that Spirit. He said down in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we must really understand that awesome truth. And that, of course, is absolutely wonderful when you understand it. Turn now to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. And you find here in verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, you see, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you. After the day of Pentecost came, after men's minds were opened, after they would be willing to repent, then they would have God's Spirit within them. Notice verse down in verse 23. Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. Didn't say he'll get sentimental about my person. He'll keep my words to do what God says. And my Father will love him, and we, God the Father and God the Son, we will come to him and make our home with him. We will live in him, and Christ will live in you through the Holy Spirit if you'll truly surrender to God. Now we'll turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and I've often referred to this because this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's frankly the most complete explanation of true Christianity there is. The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Paul still lived physically. Yet not I. It wasn't the old Paul, but Christ lives in me. That's the key, my friends, through the Spirit. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ must live his life in you through the Holy Spirit for you to be a true Christian and for you to have eternal life. You must surrender to let the true Christ of the Bible, you must feed on this word, you must study it, and you must follow those who are really teaching the truth, frankly, not someone else. Back in 1 John, if you would, chapter 5 and verse 2, God tells us, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, God's commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, or as the King James says, they're not grievous. They're not too difficult to keep. What's so grievous about loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbors yourself? They're not grievous at all. But you have to really understand and be willing to do God's way and God's will. Back in 2 John, he says here, 2 John 5, he says, "Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Not what Paul supposedly brought along later on, which he didn't. He didn't change any of God's commandments. But John wrote last of all. He points us right back to the truth of God, to the way of God. And you've got to have Jesus Christ living his life within you. Eternal life will only be given to those who are willing to truly surrender and let the Christ of the Bible live his life in them. That is what the true Christian life involves. And Christ must live in you. Then you will be given eternal life. It involves obeying the great spiritual law in the letter and in the spirit, and always resisting Satan's arguments to do away with or water down any of the commandments of God. So let's understand that. Again, be sure to call or write us immediately to request your free audio tape of this vital message. Understanding this powerful key may be much more important than you now realize. So call now and just ask for your free audio tape on the key to eternal life. You'll always be glad you did. So call now before you forget it. Even the phone call is free.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to view the Tomorrow's World program every single week. Richard Ames and I will be giving you information unavailable anywhere else. So tune in each week for powerful programs on prophecy and on the very purpose of life. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.